The following is a paid announcement.
Retirement. It's a journey. You'll see peaks and valleys, fair weather and foul. You'll make new friends, but there will also be bandits along the way. So protect your money, but also your health, because this journey requires both. Whether you're still preparing, just taking your first steps, or have been on the path for years, welcome to Retirement Journey with Jeff Bucher, where it's all about the health, wealth, and freedom you need to live life your way, all the way. Now, here's your host of Retirement Journey, Jeff Bucher.
This is Toledo's News, Weather, and Traffic Station 1370 WSPD, and this is Retirement Journey with Jeff Bucher, where it's all about the health, wealth, and freedom you need to live life your way, all the way. Well, I'm your host, Jeff, and we've all heard this classic bit of wisdom from our former president, Ronald Reagan.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Well, today, you're going to meet a man who believes he can decode for you exactly why that is. Stand by, and we're going to learn when I talk from author Wayne Allen Root, the capitalist evangelist, and his soon-to-be-released book, Murder of the Middle Class. But before we get to Mr. Root, you know, I always like to talk about being grateful and the things that we're grateful for. And, you know, I had a fascinating conversation this week in our office with a client, and I think it's worth sharing because so many times in life we kind of just walk by incredible things and we don't take time to smell the roses. And we have a client that will be retiring coming up on July 1st, and so we're kind of getting those final preparatory meetings so that starting in August when their paychecks end, they're going to start getting direct deposits so they can go live that retirement journey of their dreams. And as we were discussing kind of what their hopes are for their retirement from just all the fun stuff that they're going to do, we started talking about travel. And, you know, it was really interesting. She was the wife of the couple started mentioning how not too long ago, she was able to travel to a work event down in Florida, and she did this at a fairly older age in life. I think she was 50 plus, so she had never been to Florida. It was the very first time she gets off the plane and walks outside, and for the very first time she saw a palm tree. And she just talked about the overwhelming time that was to see that and the feelings and the emotions and how incredible that was, because living here in Northwest Ohio, we don't have that kind of stuff. And she's always seen it on television and whatnot, and just how grateful she was to be able to travel down to Florida to experience that in person. And it just started to make me begin to think about all the things that we walk by every single day that we take for granted. And as you go through the rest of your weekend today here on this Sunday, just take note of all of God's blessings, whether it be your family, the outdoors, the weather's looking great today, and just enjoy it. And as we get the beginning of this week heading into on Monday there. Well, today I'm grateful because we have a guest that's going to share a lot of good stuff with us. We have Wayne Allen Root. He's a former presidential candidate, and he's the 2008 Libertarian vice presidential nominee. He's also a media star, a serial entrepreneur, and a real SOB. That's son of a butcher. Also, he's the author of 8 books, including the national bestseller, The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide. His next book, Murder of the Middle Class, is due to be released in July of 2014. So, Wayne Allen Root, welcome to Retirement Journey with Jeff Bucher.
Hey, Jeff, how are you? Great to be on.
Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. And, you know, back in 2008, you were the 2008 Libertarian vice presidential nominee. Why did you align yourself with the Libertarian Party?
Well, listen, I'm a libertarian Republican conservative. I think that's the words I've used. I'm kind of a perfect meld of conservative and libertarian. I'm very conservative on 90% of all issues, and probably on 10% I trend towards libertarian. So it was kind of a natural for me to be in a third party, being that the Republican Party was at that point run by George Bush and spending like crazy and bankrupting the country. And I believed quite rightly, predicted that all that spending would lead to a tragic economic crisis, and guess what? It led to a tragic economic crisis. So I just couldn't stand still and be a Republican anymore when I saw that incredible reckless irresponsibility by George Bush when it came to spending. So I left. and spent a few years in the Libertarian Party, wound up becoming their vice presidential nominee, and had a great shot to be the presidential nominee in 2012, and thought better of it when I realized that the country was going under because of Barack Obama, and we had no choice. We had to elect a conservative Republican president of the United States and endorsed Mitt Romney on Fox News and came back to the GOP, and I'm here for good now because I'll tell you the lesson I learned, Jeff. It doesn't matter if you're disgruntled with the Republican Party, which I still am. It's still filled with rhinos, Republicans in name only, big government progressive Republicans who are not much different than Democrats. But in the end, there's only two parties in America. Whether you like it or not, it's a two-party system, and no third party can ever elect a president. No third party seems capable of electing even one senator or one congressman. So why waste your time, sitting in a party that is going nowhere? And that's the problem. It's not that I have anything against the Libertarian Party, a lot of great ideas, but they'll never elect anyone because the system is poisoned against them. It's not their fault. So I'm back to the GOP. It's a two-party system. You better choose sides. I choose Republican.
Well, you bring up a lot of good points, and you know, you look at the past of our political environment and where we're headed forward, and it is a little messy, right? Because I think we've just really gotten a little bit off track of beliefs and someone like you believing in the libertarian movement, but there's still a lot of, you know, as you look at how you're going to align yourself, it's about impossible. As you said, you're not going to win a national election, that's for sure. And so you kind of have to pick your poison, so to speak. And so that's why you align with the Republicans. It's, you identify more with them.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you look at the most prominent libertarians in America, I think certainly I'm on that list, and I'm back to the GOP. My running mate at the time in 2008, who was our presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party, was Bob Barr. He's back to the Republican Party running for U.S. Congress. Ron Paul was a huge libertarian who ran for president, I believe, three times, right? I certainly know two times. And he is a Republican. And his son, Rand Paul, is now United States Senator Kentucky, and in many polls is the front runner for the Republican presidential nomination in 16. And he's a real libertarian in the Republican Party. And you could even take the example of Mark Sanford, the former governor of South Carolina, who had his ethical problems, his morality problems, but is a great libertarian conservative thinker. And he's about as libertarian as you get on the political spectrum. He's a Republican congressman. So, I mean, the list is pretty clear. If you are a libertarian thinker and you want to get elected, you have to join the Republican Party. There's no choice. Find me one libertarian Democrat in America. They don't exist. Right. Democrats stand for bigger government in all phases of life.
Well, and the libertarian movement basically is that freedom of choice. And you know, you look at, as we're going down the path that we're headed now with the current president, you have a book, the Ultimate Obama Survivor Guide. Talk a little bit about that book and what inspired you to write it.
Well, I predicted, Jeff, everything that Obama would do in my book before that.
Well, didn't he too? He kind of predicted it, but no one listened.
Yeah, no one listened when he said he wanted to fundamentally change fundamentally and radically change everything about America, and he's done it. And here's the thing: I was Obama's college classmate. Kind of hard to believe. When people hear that, their head snaps back and their eyes get big, and they think I'm joking. I graduated class of 83 Columbia University. Barack Obama graduated class of 83 Columbia University. I was pre-law. Obama was pre-law. I was a political science major. Obama was a political science major. And funny enough, never met him, never heard of him, never saw him. I've told this story on thousands of radio stations and TV stations around this country, and everybody finds it so curious and so strange and so mysterious. Well, so do I. Never saw him, never heard of him, never met him, thought I knew every kid in the entire political science department at Columbia University.
Was Columbia that big?
No, it's not that big. That's the whole point. I mean, our graduating class was 700 students. I would say no more than 150 would be political science majors. So it isn't hard when you go to class for 4 years to get to know 150 people. Certainly you should see them if one sticks out in a school that's, what, 90% white. One black American should have stuck out, tall basketball player with a funny name like Barack Hussein Obama. You'd think I'd remember him, and you'd think if I didn't remember him, someone I know at Columbia would remember him. No one remembers him. But let's get by that. That's a whole other interview all by itself. The point is, I know what he thinks like, because assuming he did go there, but he just was a hermit and wasn't seen much or didn't go to class much, probably spent all his time going to Communist Party meetings. Assuming that's true, let's go by what all the other kids were like when I was there. They were all communists. So it's not a joke to say he went to Communist Party meetings. every kid I knew at Columbia, for the most part, said proudly, I'm a socialist, I'm a Marxist, I'm a communist. I hate America. I want to bring the system down. I want to bring business down. I want to throw all the businessmen in the poor ward, and I want to make sure that we redistribute, steal all their money. They didn't use the word steal. I use it. They said redistribute all their money to all the poor people to create social justice and fairness and equality. Well, don't you recognize those words every day in Barack Obama? Same words.
Absolutely.
Same words. I mean, you're dealing with a guy who is, and then years later when I used to tell that joke, you know, the reason I never saw him in class, I'm going to assume he went there, but he probably was at Communist Party meetings the whole time. Next thing I know, people start telling me, Wayne, go look at his autobiography. And you open up his autobiography, Jeff, and there it is in print in his autobiography, probably, you know, because it was at a time he never knew he'd be running for office. He wrote in that biography back in, you know, the 19, I guess it was the early 1990s he wrote it. I think it was Dreams of My Father. And he wrote that when he was at Columbia, he spent a lot of time in downtown Manhattan at the Cooper Union attending Socialist Party meetings. So there it is, you know. You make a joke, you can't even believe it's true, because what man could be elected president who attends Socialist Party meetings? And sure enough, there it is in black and white, written by him in his own autobiography.
It's incredible, is it not? Well, we're coming up on a break. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk with Wayne Allen Root. He's the author of The Ultimate Obama Survivor Guide. And we're also going to talk about these entitlements that many of you are counting on for your retirement, Social Security and Medicare. And what does Wayne think about those? Well, stick with us. You're listening to Retirement Journey with Jeff Bucher on 1370 WSPD.
Retirement. It's not a destination. It's a journey.
You're listening to Toledo's News, Weather, and Traffic Station 1370 WSPD. And this is Retirement Journey with Jeff Bucher, where it's all about the health, wealth, and freedom you need to live life your way, all the way. Well, today we've got the topic of freedoms, and we've got an expert. His name's Wayne Allen Root. He's the capitalist evangelist. He's the author of the upcoming book, Murder of the Middle Class. And before the break, Wayne, we were talking about the president and some of basically, he kind of laid it out there in books and even in speaking. He said, hey, this is the direction we're going to take the country. I don't know if people really paid attention much to it. Now, here we are, lots of change happening from government takeover of health care and, you know, continually piling up the debt. So I don't know what's going to happen with tax revenues. We're going to have to do something about that to pay this debt. Let's talk a little bit about that. And tell me, you know, we look at the entitlement programs for retirement. We're retirement financial advisors. We work with folks that are, you know, definitely counting on Medicare and definitely counting on Social Security. What do you see the future of that? How are we going to correct some of the path that we're already on?
Well, let me start, Jeff, by saying that in my book, The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide, which you can get now at Amazon, you will find literally hundreds of statistics proving that we're in the middle of a Great Depression, an Obama Great Depression. And give an assist to George Bush the same way I think the first Great Depression, you know, the credit goes to both Hoover and FDR. Hoover started it, or I should say it started under Hoover, and then it continued and deepened badly under FDR, and nobody understands history. They don't understand that 6 years after Hoover left office, unemployment went back to 20% under FDR. They all blame Hoover, and they don't understand 6 years later, FDR made it much, much, much worse with the same prescription as Barack Obama. Massive taxes, massive government spending and government intervention, massive regulations, demonization of the rich. Every step of the way, it was all the same things that Obama did. And to this day, I think the big thing is everyone talks on the conservative side, Jeff, about taxes and spending, but people don't mention regulations. You can't do business if there are too many regulations. And under Obama, the dark veil of regulations has, kind of descended over the entire American economy, and American business has been destroyed by this man. If you don't believe me, here's a few stats. Barack Obama has four of the highest years of new regulations in the history of America. Four of the five highest are in the last 6 years under Obama. This is his sixth year. So in the first 5 years, four of those 5 years were the most regulations ever put in place in 1 year. And the only one of the top five in history that wasn't, wasn't owed to Obama, I guess you'd say, wasn't under Obama's umbrella, was the last year of George Bush. So I've always said Bush was a terrible president, too. You add in Bush's last year and Obama's first 5 years, and you have the five worst years of more regulations, higher regulations in the history of America. In the year 2012, the cost of regulations new regulations under Obama was higher than in the entire first term of Bill Clinton and the entire first term of George Bush combined. And as far as taxes, Obama tried to pass 442 new taxes in his first 5.5 years. So, you know, if that's not communism, if you go look at the history of Cuba, Venezuela, you know, the old Soviet Union, real communist-type economies, if you don't think taxes, spending, and regulations are communism, then you've never read a single page in your life about communism. And Barack Obama's entire history is the most regulations in history, the most cost of regulations in history, tried to pass the most taxes in history, Obamacare by itself, the most costly tax increase in history, and then the most spending in history, and the most debt in history. My God, this is the exact formula, folks, of communism, right in front of you. And you keep wondering, when is the American economy going to turn around? The answer is, I swear to you, and I've said this for 6 years, it isn't. There's six answers for 6 years. It can't turn around. He's stealing our money, and he's regulating us to death, and the debt will destroy your kids and grandkids. You cannot turn it around till you throw him out of office, so you elect a Republican Senate, a Republican House, deepen our strength in the House, finally elect that Senate, and then in 16, elect a Republican, repeal Obamacare, repeal the rules and regulations that have come in the last 5, going on 6 years under Obama, and lower taxes, I think, to the Hong Kong model, 15% flat tax, and you could turn around this entire economy in a minute, just like Reagan did to the horrible Carter economy. That's the only way you could do it. And as long as Obama's in office, Jeff, it ain't going to happen. There will be no turnaround.
When you look at, you know, there becomes a tipping point. As you know, as we continue down this path, it's almost a point of no return. That's kind of how I look at it. There's going to come a time when, we're too far deep into the weeds. And you look at some of the other attacks on the wealthy. And, one of the things we talk about a lot in our workshops is in the presidential budget this year was the cap on retirement savings. And when you talk about a socialist idea, I mean, the government now is saying, hey, if you have this much money, that's just too much, and you got to stop. You can't save anymore.
Well, let's talk about some of the factual things that just came out in the last 3 weeks. Actually, there was a one-week period about 2 weeks ago. So that's why I say the last 3 weeks. In 1 week, we found out three statistics that are so mind-blowing, Jeff, that it takes your breath away. First of all, it was reported in a British newspaper that China will pass the United States this year as the world's number one economy. Now, they're basing that on a statistic that, you know, we don't usually use. It's not based on GDP, but it's based on another statistic, consumer spending. And based on consumer spending, China will pass America this year as the world's number one economy. Do you know the last time that America was not the number one economy in the world? 1872. When we passed England, and from that point on, it's been 142 straight years of world dominance, and it got erased in only 5.5, going on 6 years under Barack Obama. This is only his sixth year. We're not anywhere close to finishing up his sixth year, and we're not going to be number one in the world anymore.
Well, that's an amazing thing, right? When we think about his presidency, that's another. When you look at that, we're just getting started in term two, really.
Well, don't forget, no president in history ever presided over a downgrade of our credit. Obama was the first one. No president in history ever had 4 straight years of $1 trillion deficit. Forget about debt, $1 trillion deficit, just the annual accounting of how far in the hole you are. No one ever had a single $1 trillion year of deficit in history, and he did 4 in a row. The same thing is happening to the middle class. The New York Times, the most liberal paper in the world, just reported that under Obama, for the first time in history, our middle class isn't number one in the world. Canada just passed us, and 5 other countries are getting close to passing us. So we could be number 6 or 7 by the time Obama's done. And then the last stat I want to give you, Jeff, same thing's happening to small business and entrepreneurs. That's why there's no jobs. For the first time in the history of America, more businesses are failing every day than are starting every day. That's never happened. You could argue, oh, maybe it's an anomaly of some kind. No, I'm trying to tell you, folks, in the history of America, there was never a single day until Obama came along where more businesses failed than started. It's happening now on a regular basis. Obama is presiding over that. Do you think these are coincidences, folks?
Well, if you're just tuning in today, we're talking with Wayne Allen Root. He's the author of The Ultimate Obama Survivor Guide and also the upcoming book, Murder of the Middle Class. And Wayne, you've recently said that you're going to be pursuing or potentially exploring a run at the Republican seat at the U.S. Senate for Nevada, taking on Harry Reid. Let's talk a little bit about your political positions and kind of what you think about these things. Immigration and amnesty, what are your thoughts and feelings on that?
Well, before I answer your question, I just want to get really quickly. You mentioned Harry Reid's name, so it needs to be said. It just came out in the news today. I just clicked on it right before the phone rang, and it was you, before I interviewed you. And it just came out. Harry Reid's net worth now is $6.7 million. He's one of the richest men in the U.S. Senate. So I ask everybody listening out there right now, here you are in Ohio. Hey, Toledo, let me ask you a question. If a guy enters the U.S. Senate with nothing, and Harry Reid arguably had zero assets when he entered the U.S. Senate 20-plus years ago, and then he's in the Senate for 20 years where you're not allowed to do anything but be a senator, and you make $170,000 salary, probably 70 if it goes to taxes, so you're netting $100,000 a year, and you go from zero to $6.7 million without corruption. Is that possible?
That's pretty incredible.
It's not possible. It's just not possible. There's no way, if you've ever taken a math class in your life, that on $100,000 a year, you have to live, you have to pay for your living, your mortgage. He lives in both Nevada and in Washington, D.C., in a suite at the Ritz-Carlton, folks. A penthouse suite at the Ritz-Carlton Hotels, where he lives in Washington most of the year. How would you pay for that $100,000 a year after taxes? And how would you have anything left to invest and go from a zero net worth to $6.7 million? It's only possible for politicians to do that. And we all know politicians are corrupt. We all know they're a bunch of criminals, and they're stealing from us. No one has quite identified how they're doing it. But all I could tell you is something's very wrong. Something smells rotten. That's what I'll say about Harry Reid. Now, back to your question, Jeff. Give me the question again, because I've already forgotten what it is.
Immigration and amnesty. What do you think?
Well, listen, I'm not extreme on this issue one way or the other. You can't throw out, 12 million people. Maybe it's even 15 million. No one really knows what the number is of illegals in this country. And we're not going to be the Gestapo, knock on their door in the middle of the night, rip them away from their kids who were born here, and throw them back to Mexico or whatever country they came from. We're just not going to do that. So no liberal can call me extreme, because I don't realistically believe that's possible. On the other hand, let's go to the other extreme. Why does no one call liberals extreme? Why does the media not identify as extreme the idea of a person breaking into your restaurant and saying, not only have I broken in your restaurant, when you get there in the morning, you see there strange people living in your restaurant, they're going to say to you, now that I broke into your restaurant, you owe me a job, and you have to pay for my family for all of our food and our rent and everything we do for the rest of all time. Can you imagine how absurd that idea is? Well, these people have broken into our country. It doesn't matter if you think they did it with the right goal in mind. Maybe they want better for their children. I get all that. But they still did commit a crime and break into our country. And if they said, now we broke in, but for the rest of our lives we take responsibility and we don't want welfare, we don't want any entitlements, we don't want anything free, we just want to work and pay taxes, I would say, okay, I'll give you a path to citizenship. But that's not what they say, and America's been lied to. Their cost is far more than their benefit. They are taking welfare, they're taking aid to dependent children, housing allowances, food stamps, and most importantly, they are taking free breakfasts and lunches at school. Where I live in Las Vegas, Jeff, 70% plus of the kids get free breakfast and lunch at school. 70%.
That's incredible number.
School, 70% of the kids take English as a second language. So you look at those two stats. Is there a coincidence there? They've broken into our country, and they're asking for free breakfast and free lunch, and they want food stamps, and they want 1,000 other entitlements. And don't forget the cost of the education itself. Most states about $15,000 a year per pupil. So if someone comes here with six kids and it's $15,000 a year to educate their kids, that's $100,000 a year. Let's assume they're making $30,000 and they're paying $3,000 in sales taxes. They're paying $3,000 into the system and they want $100,000 worth of free education plus all the other entitlements I told you, plus now free health care. The country is sinking. It's bankrupt. We can't afford it. So I say let everybody in and give them all amnesty as long as they can never get welfare the rest of their lives. We know that's never going to happen. So you can't just legalize them and let them in. You can't. You have to seal the border, and I believe you have to ban welfare for anyone who comes to this country from another country. You want to come here to work? Great. You want welfare? You've come to the wrong place, or we're going to go bankrupt.
Well, and you mentioned just a lot about entitlements just now, and you know, as I mentioned, Social Security, Medicare, we look at those entitlements, but there's so many. How do we fix this entitlement issue?
The only way to fix it is to elect Republicans. You know, remember, you're talking to the former Libertarian vice presidential nominee, but Libertarians aren't getting elected. So you have to elect Republicans, and hopefully you've got to elect the Republican who's a Tea Party-type Republican, like the guy in Nebraska who just won. I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, but Ben Sasse, I guess, or Ben Sasse. However you pronounce his name, he's a Tea Party Republican conservative. You have to elect people like Rand Paul. You have to elect people like Ron Paul, his father, who of course is retired now. But find me people who actually believe that, you know, you can't give everyone in America an entitlement or the country will go under and will go bankrupt, and you could actually turn this ship around. But until you elect Republicans to a majority, and until a majority of them are Tea Party thinkers like me, Wayne Allen Root, you are not going to turn the ship around. It's more likely we're going to go under. I'm warning everybody. I believe we are on the USS Titanic right now. And I believe the iceberg has already been hit. And we are sinking. And it's only a matter of time before you got to get in the lifeboat, folks. That's how bad things are. That's what a crisis we're in. So you better make some changes in your thinking. Because if you elect liberal Democrats, it's all over for America. And I don't know what's going to happen to your children and mine. But maybe we all need to find another country if that's the case. Because we're not going to last.
Well, and that's that tipping point I talk about. And as we keep heading down this path, I mean, there's going to come a time when it's almost the point of no return. It's going to be impossible to turn
Jeff,
around.
Let me ask you this. Do we have a second for me
sure,
to ask the
absolutely,
question?
Yep.
Okay. So here's a chapter in my new book, The Murder of the Middle Class. I ask the question, what is it that made America the greatest nation in world history? Because if you understand history, we are the greatest nation that's ever been. Why? We share the same border with both Mexico and Canada, and they're both very nondescript countries, right? Canada, until recently, was nothing compared to America, and Canada's never been historically a significant country, and Mexico is a nothing country, right? What comes from Mexico that's great in world history? Nothing. That's why Mexicans escaped to America. They're running for their lives from a very mediocre country. So we share the same dirt and the same air and the same border, and we got great and they didn't. Why? The only answer, if you study history, is America was founded on the principles of limited government, lower taxes, more power to the people, and make sure that you give all the rights to the people, not the government, lower spending, and fewer regulations. That's the only thing. Opportunity and mobility are created by low taxes, less regulations, and less government. That's the only difference between America and all the other countries in the world. And Barack Obama, in 6 years, has ruined it all, by making the obsession, not opportunity and mobility, but the obsession is equality. He wants equality. That's called shared misery. It can't work. It's never worked in history. Name a country where it's ever worked. Never has, never will. If you take someone and tell them, you're great, I'm going to steal what you've got and give it to others who don't work as hard, who aren't as smart, and who aren't as great, so you're all about equal, then all the great people stop working and stop creating jobs because there is no incentive if they're going to take it away from you. And that's why communism and socialism don't work. That's why Canada never worked, very mediocre ideas. That's why Mexico doesn't work, just about socialist. But America worked because it's opportunity and mobility. If you're the best and the brightest, you deserve to get rich. That's the only thing that makes America great. And Barack Obama's taking it away.
Slowly stripping away. I know you're running out of time, Wayne, but your book, The Murder of the Middle Class, is coming out July 20th. And so,
July 14th, actually.
Oh, July 14th. Okay, great.
Yep.
So, and we can find more information about you at rootforamerica.com.
And July 14th may be the book's out date, release date, but it's available right now, pre-sale at Amazon.com, The Murder of the Middle Class.
Awesome. What else can we expect from the book, just quickly? I had just a couple cliff notes.
Well, just the cliff note is that if you look around, you realize Barack Obama has one goal, and that is to give the country away to the super rich and the big corporate titans and the poor who are going to vote for him. He needs their power and their votes, and he needs the rich guys to give money, and everyone in the middle is screwed. And that's the objective of Barack Obama, a two-class society, super rich and everyone else is poor, so that they are dependent on government and they will vote for bigger government and vote for him. And I lay out the case for why it's happening, how it's happening, what's happening, and then I tell you how to beat it, because there is a way as an individual to beat it, and I've got it in The Murder of the Middle Class.
Awesome. Well, that's, again, The Murder of the Middle Class. It's available pre-sale at Amazon.com. You can find more information about Wayne at rootforamerica.com. Wayne, thank you so much for being with us here in Northwest Ohio on a Sunday morning.
Thanks, Jeff. God bless.
All right, appreciate it. Well, we're coming up on a break, but, you know, there's been some fascinating news out there in the estate and legal planning or the estate planning world. And, you know, that Mickey Rooney situation where he's passed away and there's all the family wrangling and fighting over what's going to happen. Well, we're going to have Jim Anderson from our great friends at Spangler Nathanson. He's coming up with us here in a moment to talk about what you can do to protect you and your family so the situation with the Rooneys doesn't happen to you. Stick with us. This is Retirement Journey with Jeff Bucher, 1370 WSPD. This is 1370 WSPD, and you're listening to Retirement Journey with Jeff Bucher, where it's all about the health, wealth, and freedom you need to live life your way, all the way. Well, today we talked with Wayne Allen Root. He's the author of the upcoming book, Murder of the Middle Class, and boy, would he have a lot of energy. Here we are Sunday at noon, and where he's at in Nevada, it's actually 9 o'clock, but he was ready to go, that was for sure. A lot of fun with Wayne, and you know, he had a lot of good points, but really, you know, the founding principles of this country, I think, are sometimes getting lost, and this was the land of the opportunity, and there was just so much opportunity for everyone. And as he mentioned, you know, if you were smart and you were a hard worker, you had the opportunity to get rich, but we're looking at different times, and so it is important, these elections that are coming up in November, to make sure whoever you're voting for aligns with your belief system so that we can reclaim America back to the greatness that we know it is. Well, interesting news out in the world of Hollywood. Mickey Rooney's recently passed away, and his family is having all sorts of issues that started with they were fighting over where the body was going to be buried and who was going to have control of the body. And then ultimately all the way down to the will that was then left and who were the beneficiaries. And it's an interesting thing because now the family is at odds and it's going to play out in the court system. And to help shed some light on that, we have our estate planning expert, Jim Anderson. He's from the law offices of Spangler Nathanson right here in downtown Toledo, good friends and partners of our show. Jim, how you doing this Sunday?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for taking time to be with us. I know it's short notice, but you know, this was an interesting news situation because here we are. First of all, Mickey Rooney had 8 wives, so that becomes a little bit of an estate planning issue already, right?
Yeah, it's true. Once you get past the first one, you're going to usually have some problems to deal with.
So he had 8 and many kids. So ultimately, this is kind of how the story went, you know, as he progressed through life. And I believe he was in his 90s when he passed away. So over time, certain kids started to become the caregivers, and then it just came down to one family. And ultimately, when he passed away, the one set of family was the sole beneficiary of his estate through his will. Now we have 8 other surviving children fighting. We've got his current wife fighting because the estate was not left to her. So what a lot of people, I think, don't first realize is a will, if we leave everything to a will, the very first thing is that mandates we go through the probate process, which mandates it's public and can be contestable. Isn't that right?
That's correct. But anymore, yeah, a will can be contested. But anymore, also in Ohio, a trust can be contested also, for basically the same reasons, whether it's incompetence, undue influence, or duress. So you can have the same issues even with a trust, but it can be worse with a will. But it's going to be a public fight either way if it gets into the courts.
Well, and I'm sure you've had cases in your career where someone passes away and all of a sudden there's one child that gets a bigger share or all the share, and the others are fighting this now. Talk a little bit about what you can do after the fact as an attorney and as one of the children. What can happen for me if I want to contest this, and what are my chances of that?
Well, it all depends on the facts and whatever evidence is available. We've had a lot of cases. 2 comments. One on the issue of where to be buried. We actually have a very good law that's relatively recent in Ohio. Came out of a second marriage situation that allows you to designate somebody to make this decision about all the funeral arrangements. And that arose out of a situation in the Columbus area where wife number 2 said, I'm burying him over here, and the children, his children, said, no, we're burying him next to our mom. So that one's easy to deal with in Ohio. Most people don't have that, but they should have. I recommend it anytime there's a second marriage so that you don't have a fight over what kind of funeral and burial you're going to have.
Right. Well, you know, that's an interesting one, too, because sometimes we think of trust or wills, we think purely that this is about just money or investments or something along those lines. But there's a lot that goes into the legal side, the legal planning prior to your passing that you can, working with an attorney like you, you can plan and you can get past a lot of these issues so they don't maybe become such a big issue after your passing.
Right. Now, the other thing, getting back to your main point, I've had disputes, and what you can do to guard against this, you have to build, if I'm worried about it, I do videotapes. I do, basically, it's effectively a deposition on a video with that person in advance if we anticipate trouble. And a couple times I've used those, they've worked very well. You can get statements from witnesses and letters, but at the end of the day, the video is probably the most effective thing. You can even have your will admitted in advance. I did that in one particular case where we really silenced the person who was there to protest, the daughter. And, boy, when we were done watching that video in front of the court, and this was in Henry County, that judge looked at the daughter's lawyer and said, "Do you have any questions?" He said, "Nope." And he said, "Will admitted." So the will was admitted a few years in advance of her death. That's extreme, but you can do it. But the main thing is, I always caution people, if you're going to treat your children differently, you're setting up problems.
Right. Well, there's no doubt about that. And in this particular case, there were many changes made at the last months of his life, which also causes a lot of questions and curiousness from the group that maybe not be included. So bottom line is, to protect yourself, it really just starts with you must sit down and plan it well in advance. Make sure you sit down with a professional like you with all of the questions that could arise. I mean, you've seen probably lots of very different types of scenarios that come into play. And sometimes as a person going through life, we might not even understand what we might be facing when we pass away. So it really just comes down to planning, wouldn't you say?
I agree with you, and planning in advance of the fat time, you start slipping mentally, and most people, if you live long enough, you're going to slip. So you want to do all this well in advance, and then the other thing I advocate, now some people don't like this, is talking to your kids. You know, sometimes they'll say, "I don't want them to know what I have, I don't want them to know what I'm doing." Well, I think it's best to lay it all out, do what you want to do, and then tell them, "Look, this is what I've done, and whether you like it or not, I'm putting A in charge, and it's because of this and this, and you're going to be treated fairly, and I don't want to hear about any fighting." And I think that also a lot of times avoids problems when they all know where they stand in advance.
Yep, absolutely. One other fast thing that's interesting in this particular case, you know, Mickey Rooney was actually a child actor, so he's been in Hollywood almost his entire 90 years of life. And when he passed away, his estate was estimated at $18,000.
Yeah.
So pretty incredible.
Well, that means that there were things going on with that money while he was alive that maybe were improper.
Yeah, well, you know, he was just in a movie that's come, I don't even think it's released yet, Night of the Museum 3. He just made $300,000 this year, and that's apparently disappeared as well. So pretty interesting stuff. You can find information about Spangler Nathanson at snlaw.com. They can also call you at the office, Jim. What's the number to call you?
419-252-6268 is my direct line, and the office number, I think, is 241-2201. Again, 419.
So, again, that's Spangler Nathanson. The website is snlaw.com. The other last comment before we go to a break, Jim, and I think when people hear the word trust, they think, first of all, I have to have a lot of money to have a trust, first of all, and number two, it's going to be expensive to have a trust. Speak about those two things there.
Well, the main reason for the trust is, there are a lot of reasons for trust. Probate avoidance is only one, but there's other ways to accomplish that. I mean, it's mainly taking care of your spouse, taking care of your kids, taking care of grandkids, whether they have alcohol issues, drug issues, just have creditors, or they just are immature and need help managing the money till certain age or ages. And they're not all that expensive. A good trust, really, regardless of income, I mean, or asset size, will save you money in the long run. But I have seen abuses. I mean, I've seen people who have trusts with $6,000 or $7,000 when they die, and I look at who did them, and I think, what's going on here?
Right. Right. But at the end of the day, though, as you just said, it's not, you don't have to have multi-millions to have this trust.
No, you don't.
Because it does so much for you, protects the money, protects your family after you pass away. Your wishes can be handled even after your passing, kind of controlling the money beyond the grave. And then, you know, included in the trust is other documents that are important that many people may or may not have. That's your power of attorneys, and a lot of people will have, you know, healthcare power of attorneys, but many people don't have a financial power of attorney, and just a lot of the other pieces that come with sitting down with an attorney and making sure and mapping this out, and that's the real importance to it, I would say.
It's absolutely true, and I don't have time to tell a story now because I know you need to go to a break, but I was serving as a de facto guardian for a fellow who died in February, and I can tell you the reason I was brought in by Adult Protective Services was because this guy was getting ripped off by a woman he met in a restaurant.
Wow.
And she got about $36,000 out of the account before the people here in Lucas County stepped in, and we put a halt to it. But so, yeah, if you do all that stuff in advance, and I would also recommend people read the article in The Blade today about guardianships. There's been a lot of abuses down in some of the counties in Ohio, sometimes by family members. There was one particular probate judge in Mahoning County that was – looks like he was involved in some things from what I read there. I mean, that can be avoided if you have a trust. As long as you have a trustee who's, I mean, not being a play on words, trustworthy, you avoid all that.
Yep.
Our judge here in this county, we're very good. A lot of the things they talked about in that article, we've taken care of here, like background checks and things. So I praise Judge Puffenberger and her staff. In this county, they've done a really good job handling guardianships.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Jim, for being with us today. And I know it was late last minute to get you on the show, but we appreciate you being a good partner with us.
I got to put a shout out to my mother-in-law, Geraldine Van Bark. She's coming up on an important birthday soon, and every time I've told her I've been on, she's forgotten to listen. But I know she's listening today, and I love her and Dale dearly.
Awesome. Well, happy birthday. And again, that's Jim Anderson from Spangler Nathanson. You can find him at snlaw.com. Also calling in the office at 419-241-2201. Thanks, Jim.
Okay, you're welcome.
When we come back, we're going to talk about a very common mistake in retirement planning, some that many of you listening today might be happening to you right now. It's free money to you and your family that you could be collecting. I'm going to bring in our Vice President, Kevin Booker. We're going to talk about a story of a client we just met with. You're listening to Retirement Journey with Jeff Booker. This is 1370 WSPD. This is 1370 WSPD, and you're listening to Retirement Journey with Jeff Booker. That's me. I'm your host, and today we've just had a couple of great guests. We had Jim Anderson of Spangler Nathanson, and talking about the Mickey Rooney situation, all the fighting and happenings going on with his estate, and Wayne Allen Root, who was just a ball of energy, and talking about the political environment here in the U.S. and kind of the direction that we're headed. But each and every week, we want to try to bring you a strategy or a tip that can help your retirement so that you can have that retirement journey of your dreams. That's the blessing that we get at our firm, Citizen Advisory Group. You can find us on the web at citizenadvisory.com or call us at the office at 419-872-0204. You know, as Jim Anderson just mentioned from Spangler Nathanson, a trust is not just about money. Your retirement journey is not just about money either. It's all about building a plan and understanding all the pieces to your retirement. It's not just your investments and how to do that. There's so much that goes into it. And one of the common mistakes that we see is in Social Security. There's so many ways to elect for Social Security, and because of that, we have Social Security seminars. This month they're gone, but each and every month we do them. They're coming up June 3rd, June 5th, and June 10th right here in Northwest Ohio. So if you want information about one of those seminars, you can just give us a call at 419-872-0204. And with me today is our Vice President, Kevin Booker. He's kind of a Social Security guru. He kind of heads up our Social Security department at our firm. And we recently had a couple come in, Kevin, kind of tell us the story of what this very common retirement planning mistake.
Well, so the situation for this couple, without giving their exact ages, they were both between the ages of 66 and 70 years old. And from a Social Security standpoint, neither one of them was currently collecting a benefit from Social Security. So that stands out to us immediately that when you are between the ages of 66 and 70, at least one of you should be collecting something. So there was a mistake that kind of jumped out from that standpoint, as far as there should have been a benefit coming in to one of them. And the reason that they weren't collecting was really just based on some bad information that they had been given in a couple different areas.
Well, and I think a lot of people, as they're going through their, you know, there's some things that we hear, and so then we begin to think that we know all the information. So one of the things we hear in Social Security is if we earn too much, we could potentially lose that Social Security, or by waiting, we just get more, all of that is true, but there's more to the story to that. And in this particular case, once you hit a certain age, there may or may not be a reason to wait to take that income.
All right, correct. So that was one of the pieces of misinformation. And it's not unique to this couple because we see it often, but in some instances, there is an earnings limit that is applied so that if you were going to collect your Social Security benefit, but you were still actively employed in the workplace, there can be an earnings limit that's applied. But that does go away when you reach your full retirement age. And for this couple, given their dates of birth, their full retirement age was age 66. So that earnings limit goes away for them at that point. And they could continue to work and earn as much as they want with no impact to the Social Security.
Well, and in this particular case, too, as well, this couple, the wife was a homemaker. And so she didn't have her own earnings record, her own Social Security. And so because her husband was still working and planning really to work till age 70, they were just planning to wait till 70 to elect for Social Security. But that's a big miss because the spousal benefit stops growing at the age of 66.
Right. So even though the wife wasn't eligible for a retirement benefit from Social Security based on her work history, she is eligible for a spousal benefit. So the husband's situation was a little bit different. He has a retirement benefit, and there certainly is some advantages for him to continue to delay collecting that. Because he's earning 8% delayed retirement credits, so his benefit is getting better or bigger by that 8% per year, in addition to any cost of living adjustments that are being applied on an annual basis. But in the wife's instance, the spousal benefit stops increasing once you reach that full retirement age. So the only catch in this instance was the husband has to have filed for his retirement benefit to make the wife eligible to start collecting that spousal. So there are some strategies that we can use to make that happen, short of the husband actually having to file and collect, which was something that they did not want to do.
Now, and we're running out of time, but one last piece to this story is, remember, the spousal benefit does not grow once you hit full retirement age, or roughly 66, depending on how old you are in the Social Security system. But she was already past 66 when we met her, and so her benefits stopped growing at 66. So tell us a little bit about the advantage of being able to backdate your filing.
Right. So within the Social Security system, you are able to do a retroactive filing. Now, they've tightened up the rules on this a little bit, but you can do a six-month retroactive filing. So in this instance, we were able to go back and collect 6 months' worth of that spousal benefit and collect at least some of what they've been foregoing that they were eligible for.
Well, there's so much that we need to keep in mind when we're trying to plan for this retirement journey. If you want more information about how we do things at Citizen Advisory Group, you can find us on the web at citizenadvisory.com. Also call us at the office at 419-872-0204. We have retirement planning workshops as well as Social Security workshops each and every month. Again, you can go to our website at citizenadvisory.com. And you can get all the information there. We'd love to meet with you. I want to thank our sponsor, Spangler Nathanson, Attorneys at Law. Jim Anderson is a great guest for us today. Scrambler Marie's and Evans Home Loans and Insurance, and also Glendale Flowers. They treat us so well. Next week, we're here each and every Sunday, but next week we have the cheapest woman in America, Denise Winston. You're not going to want to miss it. She's going to teach you how to be cheap as well, and that's a compliment. You're listening to Retirement Journey, and this is 1370 WSPD.
The content on this paid program show is for educational and entertainment purposes only and not intended to be used as legal, tax, or investment advice. Always consult with the appropriate professional before making any financial decisions. Investment advisory services are offered through Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC, and Citizen Advisory Group, LTD, are independent entities.